Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In today's episode, South Africa's Minister of Tourism, Honorable Momoloko Kubayi-Ngubane, outlines the number of initiatives her outfit is leading to bring about transformation in the Rainbow Nation's tourism sector. The minister also shed light on the e-visa rollout, priority for tourism stakeholders in SA's vaccination program, and SAT's impending measure.
Good morning, Minister, and welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Kojo, and thank you very much for having me.
Okay. How are things in South Africa?
Things have come very well. We just came out of our Easter holidays in April, March, April. We saw a almost green shoots where some of the establishments were able even to call their staff 100% back. This was driven mainly by domestic tourism. So it's quite good to see that. But also, from a tourism point of view, we're starting to see some level of recovery in terms of our attractions. We have some good news coming for airlines next week, Airlift. So we'll be announcing that as well. So we're really optimistic and excited about what is happening. And also, we are seeing our vaccine roll out from the Department of Health. Going very well. Citizens are now being vaccinated. We started with the phase one, which was our health practitioners, frontline staff, but now it has moved to citizens being vaccinated. We're starting with the ones that are over 60 and those that are in sectors where we regard them as frontline. So that work has started already as we speak. So it's very exciting where we are now. Our borders obviously are open for travelers to come through from everywhere in the world, especially all you need to produce is a results or results for saying that you've tested and you've done, you are negative. We do not prescribe necessarily to say it must be PCR like other countries. It has to be, you can do antigen tests and show that you have been tested negative, because we note that some countries, because of the cost of PCR, it does discourage travelers. So we've been very broad to open to say, as long as you have any form of test that you can prove that you are negative, then you are allowed into the country as a traveler.
Okay, and that's very comprehensive. But during that time of restart and the levels of opening the adjusted strategy, I recall that you embarked on a number of visits to tourism establishments. What's your assessment of their adherence to the protocols?
Yes, we've been to almost all our provinces, attractions, small, big, diversity. We've tested restaurants, we've gone to accommodation, to attractions where you do outdoor ventures, all those. We've gone to check how are they adhering to protocols. And I can safely say that our sector is compliant, making sure that we do not compromise our visitors. And we've been able to really showcase how we are implementing the safety protocols. So that from my side as the minister, having traveled across, gives comfort that our sector understands the importance of us adhering to the protocols and ensuring that we have safety in terms of the measures. We do not become the source of spread as tourism sector.
Okay, excellent. Now, again, during the pandemic, you set up a panel that constitute this experts were supposed to help you review the tourism policies. And then dovetailing that question into the new tourism sector recovery strategy. Can you tell us more about what they came up with, and then how it has impacted this, your new tourism recovery plan?
Okay, with the tourism recovery plan, we're looking at immediate issues that we need help to bring back the tourism sector. So it's more work that we did in partnership with private sector. And that's why we had to get it even approved by the cabinet so that we can publish it to say, these are the things that we are doing to make sure that we build confidence in our travelers, international markets, but also within the country. What is it that we need to do? How do we bring partners, for example, in terms of regional integration, in terms of ensuring that everybody that visit the country based on the norms and standards as health protocols, they can feel comfortable. So that work we've been able to do, we are now implementing it. And we are starting to see some level. That's why we can say, because one of the pillars of that or the strategies was around domestic promoting domestic tourism. And we are starting to see some green shoots in terms of that area. With a policy review, it's a long-term process. So the panel was appointed last year. They have not finished their work. They've promised to give me the report in August to be able to look, because we're looking at legislative amendments, long-term issues to really get our sector into a growth trajectory, but also to look at in the 21st century, because you'd understand that the policy that we have was done in 1994. So there's been quite a 1996, sorry. There's been quite a lot of growth in terms of either changes around technology, how the sector's done. You've got environmental issues that we must pay attention to. And that's why we said the policy review is important. So even issues around pricing are things that we're looking at. How do we utilize technology to advance tourism? How to ensure that tourism becomes inclusive? So that's long-term policy, which will relate. So after the panel finishes with their work and submit a report, we'll take that report, we start developing legislation and policy. So we'll do our green paper, our white paper. Out of that, then we'll do tourism amendment legislative laws so that they become a long-term. So that one is a long-term. That looks even issues that would not have anything to do with COVID-19, but around the development and growth of the tourism. How do we grow it? How do we ensure that we also respond to other things, as I said, issues of global warming, issues of conserving nature. Those things we need to look at and ensure that we are aligned with our SDGs in terms of global practice. So that's why we have the policy review broadly around the work that we are doing.
Minister, if we can stay a bit longer on the tourism recovery strategy, the touch point, can you expound on it a bit?
Yeah, with the tourism recovery strategy, what we are looking at, it's got three pillars. Where we start about rejuvenating demand, which will encompass around ensuring that we are able to bring travelers from globally and also in the country. We understood that the recovery of the tourism sector will firstly have to be based on the domestic market, because globally as well, people were not yet comfortable to travel into countries. So we focused on growth in terms of our domestic market. That's why we traveled across the country to showcase that to South Africans to say they can travel. I mean, a lot of people saw when we first opened in August that I went out, and it gave confidence because people said, if the Minister of Tourism can go out into attraction, it means it's safe for us to go. So that message was able to do. But again, the issue of us saying, how do we reignite demand in terms of international travel? Being able to put together norms and standards in the country to safeguard, to build confidence in the travelers to say they can come to the country. Then we've got what we call areas around enabling. So we've got what we need to intervene as the Department of Tourism around even the issue of regional integration, where we are talking about making sure that when we market, because travelers, when they come into the country, it's easier if they are going to have access to the regions, SADC region, to our neighbors. Can we partner? For example, if you look at some of the attractions we have, let me make an example of the Galagadi Transfrontier. When you are in that park, it's a game drive you can do, but you can end up in Botswana, you can end up in Namibia. So it gives you three countries at a go. So we realize that there is importance for us to integrate our traveling and our experiences and our marketing with the region. Similarly, when you are in the border of Limpopo, you could be able to experience South Africa and Mozambique. Similarly, when you are in Mpumalanga, you experience South Africa and Mozambique, so and Swaziland. So we're trying to make sure that the package is more worth for a traveler who would be, because we are a long-haul destination, to be able to come to the country. The other area is for us to be able to protect our supply side. So we've gone as the country, as the department, to invest in ensuring that our attractions remain in the quality remains the same, where we upgrade in terms of infrastructure development, uplifting of the faces, entrances, make sure that the roads are fine, and all those things in the attractions. And one of the things in terms of ensuring that the supply side is fine is when we launched the Tourism Equity Fund, because we don't want travelers, when they've been into the country, they've known of a lodge, and tomorrow when they come, that lodge is no longer there. So we're putting efforts, we've put a fund that is worth 1.2 billion that is assisting in terms of protecting the supply side of the tourism side. So those are some of the interventions that we're making as the Department of Tourism to be able to intervene. Then we said there are enablers that we need to be able to put in place. That will ask us, these are things that are not in the tourism, but are supporting tourism. Issues such as e-visa, working together with our sister Department of Home Affairs to ensure that the visa applications, the system that is online visa application system, is up and running. More countries get actually, as you'd have noted, that more countries have been announced to be visa-free to travel into South Africa. And then our source markets that are not able to get into the country free visa, we are working together with Home Affairs to ensure that they are included as part of the online platforms of visa. We believe that that will assist, because people are raising concerns about, have been raising concerns about having to travel to our missions abroad to apply for visas and all those. With COVID, people are cautious about being into a lot of places. So online application will assist to fast track and to make it easier for people to come into the country. So those are some of the things that we're working on. We're working with the health department because we understand the vaccine rollout is important. And that's why we had to apply and request from a government to say the tourism front, what we call tourism frontline staff, like the people who are at the hotels, in the reception, the tour guides, to be included in the phase two of the vaccine rollout, so that when a traveler comes into South Africa having vaccinated, they can feel comfortable that they will interact with a person who's been vaccinated as well, as they guide them to go and see our attractions. So that's what we're working on, that we put together. And together with the private sector, we've agreed on a joint marketing and messaging approach. You'd understand that we have what we call a collaborative fund together with Tourism Business Council of South Africa. And out of that, we are working to ensure that when we go out into marketing, we can partner, we can work together. And what I can say we are seeing as a new trend, and which is working very well, is that, for example, you'd find maybe, let's say, a hotel group or now partnering with airlines to go and do discounts. I was with one of the groups in the country, Legacy Group. They were telling me that they're starting to work with, for example, with airlines, and to package, to say, when you come to South Africa, this is where you can stay, this is the airline you can travel, and they're offering discounts in that as part of marketing and ensuring that we have travelers. So we're doing that collaborative, we are encouraging those collaborative efforts, and we will be doing from the government and private sector going forward as well, to be able to ensure that we can have more travelers coming into the country.
Wow, that's a very comprehensive plan that you are rolling out. Because I was going to touch on the African market, because since you took over, you had always expressed that desire to have a bit more Africans traveling to South Africa. And then the fact that you have a timeline with respect to the e-visa, because before COVID, we're going to test, I think, the Nigerian or the Kenyan market. I'm not so sure about that. But do you have some few timelines with respect to that?
Yes. Currently, Minister last week announced he was having his budget vote. He announced that China, India, Nigeria will be included in our e-visa rollout plan, because these are the countries that we've identified in terms of ensuring that we can be able to get the numbers in the rollout. The plan is to, within this financial year, finalize the implementation of the pilot with the countries that I mentioned. But again, with the continent, one of the things that we'll be working on is to increase air access. What we are finding, and the study that we have done recently, and analysis that we have done was to check air access. What is coming clearer is that it's not easy to travel within the continent. So one of the things that we are starting conversations with airlines is to be able to say, how do we improve on air access? We're seeing one of the private airlines from Nigeria starting to fly into South Africa, which we are happy about. And we are also encouraging a lot of airlines on the continent to have direct access into the country. I will be engaging the Minister of Transport to ensure that from South Africa point of view, in terms of licensing, in terms of giving, granting this access for the airlines to be able to fly. Because it doesn't help when we have a connectivity. It's easy. It's 2 hours, 4 hours between our countries, but there are no direct flights in between. You must go via another country before you come. So we do believe that air access is a key for us to be able to increase our numbers in the continent.
Yes, and on air access, there were reports of SAA, you know, begin to do something. Is this something that you know as of now whether they're still going to come to the party, if I may use the word?
Yes, we do. They have issued a communication that they will be back in July. We do believe that work is on track for that. We've seen them back in terms of cargo. Our vaccines have been collected by them in various destinations. So we do believe that that work is in place. We've not had anything negative that suggests that they will not be back in July. So we're looking forward. I will be continuing conversations with the minister responsible just to make sure that they are able to come back, because they've been one of the carriers on the continent to assist in terms of connectivity on the continent.
Minister, one area that you also touched, I recall the conversation with us, the media, where you mentioned, during the COVID, mentioned that legacy events will be one of the of your bedrocks and, to restart tourism. Is this still part of the plan, in terms of opening up and the strategy, MICE and business events?
Definitely. We have been even encouraging some of the departments. This year, the Minister of Digital Communication and Technologies will be hosting a conference later this year. Next year, we are looking at the Minister of Employment and Labour hosting a conference as well. So we do believe this is signaling our ability and our willingness to continue to be a destination for the MICE sector. We are working quite a number of plans incoming. We have been doing quite a lot of bidding. We've won some bids in terms of my speech that I've announced during my budget. That gives us confidence that quite a number of conferencing will return to South Africa next year. And we're still looking forward. And we're saying to our partners, where there are challenges, they need to call us so that we can assist them. Where there are challenges in terms of clarity from policy point of view or how we are managing the pandemic, they must be able to reach out so that we can assist them in terms of ensuring that they are able to feel comfortable that they can host conferences. From cabinet point of view, we have had a discussion in terms of ensuring that the MICE sector can return. And one of the things that we have agreed to is a working team that will involve participation of officials from the Department of Tourism, the Department of International Relations, the Department of Home Affairs, the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Health and Transport. And this we are doing so that we make sure that there is joint efforts in ensuring that we can ensure that if there's a concern from a stakeholder who wants to have a major conference or a major activity in the country, we are able to resolve it in that team of officials that is working. This is signaling a serious effort from government to say, as a destination that has always hosted, you know that we've hosted, your mining in Durban, we've hosted Oil Africa, we've hosted WEF in the country, we've hosted COP17, for example, we've hosted quite a number of international conferences, Soccer World Cup, we've hosted, and we've showcased how we have capacity in terms of infrastructure, that is the ability to be able to host successful conferences. And we are saying we would want to still continue to showcase that even post during COVID, as we manage the pandemic, that we are a safe destination for this international travel. We do believe that there's been a miscommunication about the variant, and that has led to people staying away from South Africa. But we want to say, if you look at our statistics, how we've managed the pandemic, we see that our recovery rate is very high. We have very, very low mortality rate in the country compared to many countries. And that tells you that even before we had a vaccine run out, we were a country that literally managed the pandemic very well. And with the vaccine rollout that is moving and taking shape and making sure that, as I'm saying, confidently now, many South Africans, if you go into vaccine centers, you see there's quite a number of people being vaccinated daily. And that is moving faster in terms of that. You believe that you'd see that we're really serious about us coming back in terms of tourism, but also being a destination for business and leisure travel.
Okay, now on that event side of things, are you still going to have, are we to see Indaba and Meetings Africa? Because that conversation was, it was out there that it was going to be a hybrid and what is going to happen or not. Can you speak to that, Honorable Minister?
Yes, we are looking at hosting a hybrid joint meetings and tourism in Indaba this year. And then next year we'd host them as normal as we've been hosting. This year, one of the things that we want to do from my side as a minister as well is to host my counterparts as well as part of building confidence. So colleagues must look forward to receiving invites from me as we host, looking at hosting this in the month of September during our tourism month, as well as ensuring that one of the things that we can showcase is to be able to say, how do we host sustainable tourism? We're one of the few countries that focuses on ensuring that when we grow tourism, we grow it inclusively. Our focus on ensuring that rural communities are included, our focus in ensuring that women participate, young people participate, but previously disadvantaged or what we call indigenous communities actually play a meaningful role. We believe that we are a country that is a model globally that can be able to showcase what can be done in terms of ensuring inclusive tourism growth. If you look at our Tourism Equity Fund, it's one of the rare, I think it's a model as well the world can take, because it provides for those who are previously disadvantaged to be given support by government in terms of a form of a grant, to access loans, to access equity shares, and also that we're linking them to banks so that they have a banking profile that they can utilize for sustainability in the global future. We've been doing an analysis to see if there's anyone who've been able to bring private, public-private partnership that looks like that in terms of funding. We don't think anyone has it, because it's us as government bringing both loans and a grant. You have an FDI, which is a company of government that is investing in development of companies and entrepreneurs, but we've got a bank which is a partner. So it's a partnership that is unique, but that offers a trail, what we can call ourselves a trailblazer in this area that many of the countries can learn from. And that's why we believe that as we showcase what we are doing as growing inclusivity and saying we want to be a model that many countries can follow, in ensuring that, for example, as we do a pilot for the UNWTO with women in tourism, SMMEs in rural communities, incubating them and showcasing that they are becoming success as part of rural, growing rural tourism. So we believe that there's so much that our global partners and our counterparts can actually work with us to be able to see what we are doing in South Africa beyond just managing the pandemic, but growing the tourism sector and ensuring that everybody, communities, are able to buy in and feel part of being a part of tourism in the country.
I've been very busy, Minister. I've been very busy with all these initiatives and all this, and your energy to push that. Now, it takes me to the question of media reporters that have suggested that the South African tourism and other parastatals, there's a measure in the offing. How true is that?
Yeah, we're looking at our marketing entities. What we have taken a decision as cabinet is to be able to look at how do we enhance our work and maximize our potential. So you'd understand, for example, you would have Brand SA, which is a marketing company, and then you have South African Tourism, which is a marketing company, and then you have others, Invest SA and all that. So what we are looking at is to optimize our work. So leveraging on what, and we do believe, I mean, our stakeholders, when I talk to them, they're very excited about this because this is what they have raised with us as government. You say you have two entities that are working in silos in terms of marketing the country. And they did give us feedback to say, if you can match them, they will be able to give you a much more concerted effort. And the stakeholders, both in the country and globally, have said to us, actually, they believe that these entities can be able to achieve quite a lot when they have been brought together. So that's the work that we are doing. Indeed, we are looking at ensuring that we can be able to sort of consolidate that. We believe it will be able to assist us. SAT board, we've extended their time currently because they'd come to an end. And we felt that because we are managing the pandemic and the work that we have to do, but also with the merger, it will be good to have people who have a institutional memory, but who now have gotten into the grips of what needs to be done. So stability is important. You would have noted that the CEO, because his term of office is ended, but because he's got other better opportunities that he has found, and that we've agreed that he can depart, but we have agreed that we'll continue with the team and get somebody within internally to be acting while we're stabilizing and making sure that the merger happens quite quickly, and we also can be able to successfully, you know, see the entity growing. I do believe that with what we are doing, actually, there's going to be quite positive growth for the tourism sector.
How do you assuage those who are, you know, workers and people who, I mean, when we talk about mergers and bringing some entities together, there's always a possibility of redundancy. What message do you have for people within that in this department who fear of losing their work?
I don't think anyone should fear losing their work, because one of the things that I always say as employees in the organization, you are there to offer your skill, you are there to offer your expertise, and those are the expertise that we need as the sector. So there's always room for quite a lot of things for us to do and opportunities. And I always say for employees, continue to upskill yourself so that you can become relevant, so that you don't become redundant. I think it's two ways. As minister can assure them, but they've got to make sure that they upskill themselves, they continue personal developments. All of us do that. I'm still studying so that I don't become irrelevant as a person. So it's important. As a person, continue on personal development so that you are able to offer value for all of us. All of us are looking for people who offer value, and even the sector themselves are looking for people. When we say in as government that we have the following entity with the employees, they are looking for employees who will offer value for them, and they can build confidence that we know what we are doing, and they can build confidence in us ensuring that we support them effectively as the state. So to the employees, continue to do personal development, work with us to ensure that we position our entities better and for the betterment of the future so that we can remain relevant into the future.
Well, you're still pursuing academic excellence in doing your PhD now, but how do you get consumed by the legal tussle of BBE, equity fund, etc.? How are you managing that? Because you've shown, enormous commitment in terms of transformation. I want to ensure that the sector undergoes. At the same time, you want to ensure that people who've lost their job, at least there's some livelihood out there. How do you battle? Do you feel consumed by all the legal, tussle or ongoing and kind of putting impediment on the way of how you want to see the sector move, especially at this difficult moment?
Look, one has to respect, because we are a constitutional democracy, one has to respect the rights of those who believe that they need to take us to court. We do respect them, but I do believe that it's unnecessary distraction that takes away my attention as the minister to real issues that I need to focus on and to attend to the critical areas that we need to. The reality is that even though they've taken us to court, both the companies, AfriForum and the organization AfriForum and Solidarity, have accepted and have considered in the last court when we appeared that transformation is necessary. So I think with this process, one achievement I can say an appreciation is that we've been able to really get them to understand the importance and the necessity of us having to transform the tourism sector and our economy, acknowledging that the past was not good for all of us, and also that if the future, if we do not do anything, the future will not look good for us. So we have to intervene today so that we can be able to protect and have a sustainable future. So that concession from them to acknowledge that transformation has to happen, transformation is necessary, I think it gives me comfort that all the days of meetings, of engaging with them both, either as meetings or in court, are not effortless, but have resulted in something. We do believe that as we go, it's part of us bringing them on board, because we do need them as South Africans to support our efforts across. I do believe it's not because sometimes people perceive us as discriminating racially, but it's us to say we have to level the playing field and ensure that all South Africans can buy into our sector, can believe that this sector belongs to them. And in that way, we will have a sustainable future. So I'm hoping that going forward, after this current court process, we should be able to find better mechanisms to be able to converse as South Africans, as our former president, Nelson Mandela, has taught us, that sitting around the table and conversing and finding solutions jointly is the best solution.
No, Honourable Minister, I think that you've shown commitment towards the sector, and you know, for us as Voyage African, personally, I've been thrilled by your work and the energy and commitment that you've shown. And what I would like to say is that we are here to support, you know, as well, and amplify the message of Restart. Now, what will be your final words to Africa, to South Africa, and your colleague ministers as we restart tourism?
Yeah, to my colleagues in South Africa, I want to thank them for continued support. We were able to see, not to see the, you know, the death of tourism in the country, because they've been standing side by side and giving the support and feedback, and that I appreciate. To South Africans who heeded the call, for us to say to them, please travel, enjoy your country, support tourism, save jobs and save businesses. We want to thank you for your support, but we want to continue to urge you to say, please take a short left and enjoy South Africa. Where you have questions, we are available on our social media platform. We are accessible. Share your experiences. Give us feedback so that we can improve on how we are offering. We can improve on your experiences in the tourism space. To my continent, Africa, my brothers and sisters, please visit South Africa. Those of you who have not been to South Africa, I can tell you this is a beautiful place. This is home away from home. You would enjoy everything about South Africa. The people we are, you know that we are the most hospitable people as Africans. You would experience everything. You don't need to go to London. You don't need to go to US. South Africa is the thing that you are looking for in those countries. Come visit us. We'll make sure that you enjoy it. Come with your friends, come with your families. Do tag us on our social media platforms as well and share your experiences. We'll make sure that we do share what you have given us as feedback, but also where you need advice, where you need to know where to go, we will be available and willing to share. Visit SA, go to the websites, go to our social media platform as Department of Tourism, ask questions. We share destination every day, attractions for you to see. You will be able to enjoy. But most importantly, I think it's important as Africans, as we talk about the African free trade, that we need to learn to trade with each other. We need to learn to ensure that the money circulates in the continent so that we can grow a better Africa. We need to learn to visit each other as well. As I encourage South Africans to visit the continent, visit all the countries on the continent as we do, in a few weeks' time, I will be in Namibia, and I'm looking forward to the hospitality there, as well as the people enjoying going to the attraction. I'll make sure that I just don't stay in the hotel, but I'll visit. So I'm encouraging both ways that let's ensure that we visit each other as Africans, we learn more about each other, but also we are able to support each other. Our growth in terms of our economies, our growth in terms of our sectors, in terms of tourism, can only happen when we ourselves spend our money on our continent. Thank you.